And then we'll give you 10 reasons to thank God and 6 reasons how. All right. It's interesting. Psalms is broken up in different sets or books, and there's 5 books in the book of Psalms, if that makes sense. This is the first one in the book, the 5th book. I don't fully comprehend all the different ways it's divided up, but as you get farther into Psalms, there's more thanksgiving and praise type Psalms. So, you know, use instruments, praise Him with this instrument, praise Him with that instrument, praise Him with a loud voice, all things like that. So it kind of changes the tenor of the approach of the Psalms. So Psalm 107, just follow along if you would as I read. It'll go faster than maybe it looks like. But I really enjoy the book of Psalms. Starting with verse 1, Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Did you know wit's end was that in the Bible? A lot of phrases that we use are actually first found in the Bible here. They're at their wit's end. Where did I go here? Verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There He makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, He pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet He sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, teach us and remind us of the need and the privilege of being thankful to You for all that You do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in your notes, there's no numbers, but there's five pairs of words that we'll be writing down. 10 reasons to thank God. We'll give you two at a time. Okay, the first two reasons. Why should we thank God? For God's... Make sure how I write this here. Deliverance. That's one of your words. And meaning. Deliverance and meaning. What would be my meaning? And we put this in your notes. It's like life purpose. Okay, God gives us a reason to live. The deliverance. God has redeemed us out of the enemy. Here it's talking specifically about Israel, but all of the deliverance, and you see deliverance throughout as far as physical deliverance, but also we have spiritual deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. True redemption from our sins. So God gives us deliverance, and He also gives us a purpose. It says here, and you see this repeated over and over, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. God gives us deliverance. Another name for deliverance or another word is what? Help me. Anyone? Salvation. You see the saved or delivered being used interchangeably in the Old Testament especially. Normally deliverance in the Old Testament is a physical deliverance, whereas in the New Testament oftentimes salvation is used in a spiritual way. But God's deliverance in meaning. He's redeemed us from the hands. He's brought us together. God, as a church, has brought us together and out of our sin and given us a family. He's given us a church family. He's given us a reason to live. And He led them forth, verse 7, by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. I won't go into this now, but God promises a city. Where is that found? Anyone? Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Where is that found? Anyone? Everyone's looking down. Hebrews 11. But there's also going to be a city whose builder and maker is God. Remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? Right? What is that place? What's the name of the place? Well, that wouldn't be the city, would it? New Jerusalem. Right, right. It's huge. It says it's 15, I think in the miles, it's 1,500 miles wide by long by tall. So I'll let God explain that. It might be a three-dimensional city, you know, where it's a cube maybe. Some people said it's a sphere or whatever the case might be, but it's that big. But God's given us deliverance and meaning. They might go to a city. And He's given us a reason to live, a deliverance and a meaning, a purpose in life. We are redeemed, and we are to respond to God as His redeemed. So God's deliverance and meaning. The second one here, the second pair, is for God's call this discipline. And instruction. God's discipline and instruction. I'll read verses 10 through 16 again and comment as I go. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. And notice what he does. He binds them. He puts them in some kind of prison or even difficult situation. Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. God oftentimes, especially in the Old Testament, would bring people to the end of themselves by allowing them to go into slavery, some kind of bondage, economic difficulty, physical difficulty, in order to draw them to himself. Verse 13, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and what did he do? He saved them out of their distresses. God put him there so that they would look to him, and that's called discipline. Okay? The New Testament in Hebrews 12 tells us not to despise the chastening of the Lord. That's actually a quote from Proverbs 3. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So we should thank the Lord when he brings us through hard times. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would guess that anyone that's been around any time at all has experienced the chastening of the Lord. They've experienced the idea where God has taken us through times of difficulty to draw our attention back to Him. And we should thank the Lord for that discipline. It's to produce, the Hebrews 12 says, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Okay, the discipline and instruction here. He brought them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and broke their chains. God teaches us through difficulty and also through His Word. God has given us 66 books in the English Bible in order to know God and to learn of Him. And that's a reason to be thankful. We are not walking in darkness any longer unless we choose to do so, because He's given us His Word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Right? So God's discipline and instruction, we are to be thankful for those two things as well. The next two here, they don't really maybe go together, maybe in one sense, but they're found in this passage. For God's truth and healing. God's truth and healing. Let me read these verses again. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. That kind of ties in with discipline again, doesn't it? Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. You see that phrase repeated over and over. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How does God heal? In what ways does God heal? Not how. I won't ask you to explain how God physically or otherwise heals. How does God heal? In what realms? We actually sang about that in that new hymn. Okay. Broken hearts. How else does God heal? Broken hearts in what way, Lynn? Let's go a little further. Okay. All right. What when they lose all hope? What else? How else does God heal? Okay. Physical healing, right? Does God... Even our bodies, we don't consider this miraculous, but anyone here ever scrape themselves or cut themselves? It's funny, but it's not funny. It just heals, doesn't it? It just happens. And God built our bodies to do that. I mean, it did that long before we understood how it did that. You know, your blood clots, or my mom just said surgery. I don't in any way comprehend how that bone heals together. Anyone here broke a bone before? Who else? Who's all broken a bone? Yeah, Daniel, of course. Yes, he broke his collarbone. I broke a rib once, and I can't imagine, you know, what it's like to break like a leg, how painful that would be. But that just, it grows back together. Okay, it just happens that way. But also, God can heal miraculously. Jesus did that over and over. Paul was even able to do that, and some of the other apostles, right? In the Old Testament, Elijah healed people and even raised people from the dead. Okay, God has that ability to do that. Here, the passage seems to indicate maybe a physical healing, but possibly also a healing of circumstances, like difficult circumstances. God makes it right because they called on Him and God fixed the situation. Okay, God doesn't guarantee that. Sometimes, we're going to talk about this in Sunday school today, but sometimes God lets us go through difficult circumstances. Okay, so it isn't His guarantee because He might have something bigger and better to accomplish than our comfort and convenience. Okay, but God heals in many ways. We are still somewhat numbly joyous about Carissa and her healing. She went in October 4th of last year and was given 2 to 4 months to live. Her cancer had spread into both lungs and to other main organs. As she went in the next day and it was gone. There was scarring there. I don't claim to be able to explain that, and neither does the doctor. But the only thing we can attribute to is God's healing hand. God didn't choose to completely heal her because her heart is damaged from the chemo. But God can do amazing things. And there'll be a day when there'll be no more pain, no more crying, no more dying. God will ultimately heal us in that way as well, right? When we get our new bodies, Marv won't hurt anymore. Okay, he'll have to think of something else to talk about there. So, and won't it be great when we get to the new earth, the conversations that we have about hurting will be gone. Probably eventually it'll just be a distant thought in the past and maybe eventually forget it altogether. So I go and get my back adjusted regularly because I'm just built funny, I guess. The doctor several times ago, he said, it's not a matter when you get our age. He's about my age. He goes, it's not a matter of if you hurt, it's what hurts now. You know? Or as you get older, the conversation of most people tends to involve a medical inventory of what you have or no longer have or whatever. But God will heal us of that completely eventually. So we can thank God for that. It's nice that we don't have to think about healing from a cold. We might try to deal with the symptoms. Ultimately, God has built this in a way that will eventually heal from most things. But ultimately, God will heal us permanently and we'll have no more cause for pain or sickness. So we can thank God for that, both on the temporal and on the eternal. Here's another one here, another pair. For God's protection and direction. God's protection and direction. Okay? Verse 23 to 31. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. Talking about the waves. I've never been on the ocean. I've been to the ocean, but I've never been on the ocean where there's been a great storm or whatever, but you can literally have waves that are multiple stories high and that'll toss huge ships around like toys. That's what it's talking about. They go way up in the air and then they mount up to the heavens. They go down into the depths again. So they go, you know, plunge to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. These are the sailors, people out on the ocean. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. That's the power of the Lord. He can protect us in even the most dire of circumstances. I have jumped out of airplanes with parachutes. In the Army, I think being on the ocean is more dangerous. Because if your ship goes down, I don't care how good of a swimmer you are, it is rather irrelevant, you know, for most, unless there's someone there close at hand. God protects people in that, and He controls all of nature. He can protect. Jesus illustrated His ability. Remember when there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they went down, and Jesus was what? What was He doing? He was really worried, right? What was He doing? He was sleeping. Okay, so let's get in the boat. Let's go over to the other side. The apostles apparently didn't hear Jesus say the other side because they were scared. And they went to Him and says, "Don't you care if we die?" And he marveled at their little faith again. And He comes up and He says, "Peace, be still." And everything just stops. Okay, God controls all of that. He can protect us in the waves as well as removing them. It's up to Him. And notice here, they are glad because they're quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven, that direction there. God helps men to even to travel. And they don't thank Him for that. Like, we have maps now. Anyone here have a form of GPS system? Jim, do you have GPS on your farm stuff at all? I know. Yeah, it'll even apply, like, is it herbicide that's supplied by GPS? Or it's just amazing. All that. And we don't give credit to God for stuff like that. I have a GPS on my phone that you can, not that I don't know where I'm going usually, but you know, we rely on that and we forget that God keeps the universe functioning as a finely tuned system so that you can rely upon a GPS system. Aren't you glad that it takes our Earth 365 and what, a fourth days to go around the sun, and it's like that every year? Aren't you glad that, you know, that the rotation of the earth is roughly 24 hours in a day? Okay? All of that you can count on. And God brings us to our safely to our haven because we can count on God keeping everything together and in order. Okay? So God's protection and direction. And it doesn't sound like direction here is nearly as much a divine leading as it is that he designed the universe so you can head east and get to where you want to go. It's reliable. It's that orderly. I'd never looked into people who have been on the ocean who years ago used to navigate by the stars. That just fascinates me that something that far away could be used to pinpoint where they are at on the ocean. And yet that's how God made the universe, that orderly, so stars that are very, very, very far away can guide men in their navigational abilities. That's our God. And we can thank God for that. Protection and direction. The last pair here, before we get into six ways to thank God, is for God's provision. Provision and blessing. Provision means when God gives us things that we need, and blessing, I suppose, includes that, but everything above that as well. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. This is turning abundance into dryness. It's the opposite of that, but it shows His power. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness. He can do just the opposite. He can make something that's very abundant into a desert, and He can take a desert and turn it into something very abundant. He turns a wilderness, verse 35, into pools of water and dry land into water springs. That indicates very clearly that God is in control of the weather and the entire ecosystem, not just a God that doesn't care or isn't involved. There, in this place where there's water and water springs, He makes the hungry to dwell that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. God provides the ability to produce food. Now, He can provide manna every day to fall out of heaven, but He chooses to let us work for what we eat, to plant and grow, or as an extension even to the physical ability to be able to work at a job if we're not a farm and doing agricultural things. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. It seemingly talks about with children. That's considered a blessing to multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. Even to keep God's blessing is as much to do with what we don't lose as it is as how much we gain, right? It's a good stewardship to be careful how you spend your money and how you care for it, but also how many times are you not able to control it? We experienced something, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, but we had a couple things, a weed eater and a drill that we hadn't opened. We were going to take back to the hardware store, and someone got into our minivan out in the front of the house and took those things. And it's like gas. You feel violated. There's nothing really you could do. It's below the insurance, the deductible. And it's really not something that the police care. It's not enough about it other than join the club, they said, kind of idea. But I'm just thankful that that doesn't happen a lot. Okay? Can you imagine losing things constantly? We live in a relatively safe culture, by and large. Still, maybe people live in places where it's more difficult, but we don't have to deal with that much. But God keeps things from being stolen. God keeps things from falling apart. That's another way that God provides and even blesses. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there's no way. So God can go either way with that. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. Again, the idea of a large family. So God provides and blesses us, not necessarily because we deserve it, but because that God does it out of his goodness. Now, let me give you 6 ways to thank God. They're just the underlying portions in your notes there. I'm going to change colors here, I think, just to make it a little easier to see. These are verses actually out of the midst of this chapter. If you look, there's verse 22, 32, and 43. But they seem to be declarations of what we should do, how we should thank God. These are our responses to Him, okay? There's more in there, but these are 6 of them anyway. 3 verses, verse 22, 32, and 43. So it says, let them sacrifice. So that's one way to serve the Lord, is to sacrifice. And notice here it says to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Whether this is actually an offering, like a physical offering or not, the very least you could say is that we are to be formally thanking God. You know, other than just saying, Lord, thank you for the food I'm about to stuff in my mouth, we need to take time to thank the Lord for what He does. In Hebrews 13, I'm not sure what verse it is, maybe verse 6, maybe verse 3 of Hebrews, it talks about we are to offer the sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving. So that is something, it's a sacrifice. God sees that verbal acknowledgement of what God has done, to thank Him for that as an offering to Him. Okay, now maybe the Israelites did so also with a gift or whatever, and that's a way to thank God. I remember Pastor Danenberg, we always used to have a Thanksgiving offering. And I think that's what his idea was. It wasn't just another way to get people to give money. It was gave people an opportunity to stop and reflect at what God has done and then give God extra out of a thankful heart. But either way, it's a stopping and formally thanking God in doing that. So it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Another way to thank God that you might not think about is declare. That's the second space there. Declare His works with rejoicing. One way to thank God is to let other people know about Him. That would tie in with our Reaching Out series a little bit. Declare His works with rejoicing. We're to be thankful by telling others what God has done for us. Okay, don't keep it a secret. One of the gentlemen, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Brandon last night. But he mentioned that, no, it was the first guy, I think, Bob Cornuke, said that we have compartmentalized religion in our culture so that we never bring God up around other people that we're with. God is personal and God is church, but God isn't for anything else. That is not a biblical view of Christianity. We are to be overflowing with statements and declarations about what God has done for us. So declare His works with rejoicing. Not just what God has done for us, but also declare what God has done throughout history. He's over and over throughout the whole Bible, you see God is the maker of heaven and earth. You can declare Him as the Creator, as the Savior, as the Sovereign Lord of the universe. Those are also things that you can declare. They don't have to be just personal experiences. Okay, verse 32 says, let them exalt. And I will add the next one too. They kind of go together. I don't know if they're identical. They're not identical words. But exalt, in my mind, gives the idea of acknowledging God for who He is. Okay, it's identifying Him for who He is. He's holy, like the angels in heaven cry night and day. The Bible says the seraphim fly around and declare that God is holy, holy, holy. That's a declaration. That's an exaltation of His holiness. Okay, so we should acknowledge God by His characteristics, by who He is. God is a God of love. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of justice. You can go on and on and on. He's a God that is unchanging. Those are His characteristics. And then also praise seems to be oriented more, and I'll put this, who God is here. And praise seems to be more directed to what God has done. Okay, so what and who would be the difference? That's how I would differentiate those two. So that's when you exalt God, you're talking to Him. When you praise God, you're talking to Him. When you declare His works, you're talking to others. Okay. So exalt who God is, praise what God has done. And again, we can look at from our own subjective world what God has done in our own lives, but also we can praise God for being my Creator, my Savior, you know, sending Jesus to be my Lamb as well, things like that. All of those can be involved in what God has done. The last two here. The word is observe. And when you think of observe, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, think of obedience. You can be thankful to God by your obedience. Okay? It says, whoever is wise will observe these things. All right? It's an obedience factor. And then the last one here is understand. And you might say, how do I do this how do I go about understanding? It says, understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I believe that understanding comes with truth, that's the Word of God, plus thought. You're thinking on the truth, okay? Plus time. It takes time to think through and understand God's things. So that's another way to do it. You're pondering. I think maybe another way you could say this is meditating is another way to put those together, because meditating takes the truth, thinks about it over time. Okay? But that's how you gain understanding. So that's another way to thank the Lord. God wants you to understand Him as much as He can be understood by us. And that comes by taking the truth, thinking about it over and over through time. And you start understanding a little bit by little bit God's loving kindness in ways that maybe you've heard about it, but it still makes more sense as time goes on. So how do we thank the Lord? Through sacrifices of thanksgiving, by declaring His works, that would be to other people. This might be specific times of sacrifice. That seems to be more of a formal thanking Him in some way. It could be through offering things or just praise, you know, specific taking time to praise the Lord. Like Joe even mentioned in his prayer, thanksgiving is a time that we take to reflect. That would be a formal time of thanksgiving. Exalt who God is. Exalt Him in the assembly. Praise Him before the elders. Again, that seems to be within, like, I think, a congregational setting, both of those. But who God is and what God has done should encompass our praise and worship. Observe, obey what God tells you. That's a form of thankfulness. Rebellion is the opposite of thankfulness, really. Okay, so obedience. And then understanding, meditating on God's truth, thinking about it over time so that we come to understand it more, so that we can appreciate it even more deeply than when we first heard it. So, all right, 10 reasons to thank God and 6 ways in how to thank Him. Let's pray. We're going to sing a song, the same one we sang last week, There's a Redeemer. And then Lynn will set up the video so we can see what the kids accomplished this week. Father, help us to be those that offer the sacrifices of praise. Lord, those, when we are not thankful, we are not godly because we are not truthful. We are certainly those that have become selfish and those that have made ourselves the center of our lives if we are not thankful. Lord, we desire to give You the thanks that You deserve about who You are and what You've done. And Lord, You deserve our obedience out of a thankful heart, and You deserve even our pursuit of understanding out of a thankful heart as well. Lord, help us to be thankful followers of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.